Hebrews chapter number 11, Hebrews chapter 11. The last few weeks we have been talking about faith out of the book of Hebrews 11, what sometimes we call the faith chapter. And I'd like for us to go down to verse number 11 and 12 this morning. And I want us to discover here the faith of a woman called Sarah. Chapter number 11, notice with me verse number 11 and 12. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the many that we can look at who demonstrate to us this marvelous concept of faith. We pray that you might work in our hearts this morning. We pray for your folks here that are saved. They know you. They've put their trust, their faith in you. Lord, you have said that through the preaching, as we find in Romans 10, that and by the hearing of the gospel, our faith can increase. We thank you for that marvelous privilege to be able to believe you more today than we did yesterday. We pray for any in this room who may not know you as Savior, that you might speak to their soul, that they might put their faith and trust in you. And for that, we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. First of all, I've said it a number of times, that we find that faith is a gift of God. We've learned in the book of Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through what? And what's it say next? Which is the gift of God? You're saved by faith. What? It's a gift of God. Do you understand today that you and I, we were made in the image of God? Is that not true? And when God made us, he made us with something marvelous. It's called faith. The ability to believe, especially about him. However, sin has changed that. But we all have the ability to believe. And we have the ability to do that without visible affirmation. There are things that you believe you've never seen. How many have ever been to Paris, France? Any of you folks been to Paris, France? Huh? We got one back there that's been to Paris, France. All right. How many have ever seen the Eiffel Tower? You were there? You haven't been there. Do you realize that pictures can be doctored? Okay. And you and I, we need our pictures doctored a lot. You know, it's just kind of the way that thing works. But we believe things that we've never seen. Isn't that true? Where that faith is played, however, is of utmost importance. Many go into Saturdays believing their team will win. But there's always one of the two that's going to lose. Have you ever noticed the cameras? Have you ever watched the television? You know, you watch basketball or baseball or football, and they'll show both sides. And you'll see some over there, they're sitting there like this, praying. Oh, God, help my team to win. And once in a while, they show the camera on the other side, and there's somebody over there praying, oh, God, help my team to win. What's God going to do about that? I don't know. I often wonder, does God really care who wins or loses? But you and I, we have this belief. And sometimes it's disproven, but God has never lost a game. God has never been disproven. Amen to that. When we study the faith of Sarah, there's something that seems to be in opposition. In Genesis chapter 18, we find that when the angel comes and announced to Abraham, Sarah's in the tent, and Sarah hears that. Now, you can understand, she's an old woman. And, I mean, Abraham, he's almost 100. Sarah's almost 90 when they hear this, and she laughs. Wouldn't you? That'd be like Doc and Dee having the angel meet them and say, you're going to have a child. They probably wouldn't be laughing. They'd probably be crying. But unless... And she learns this at that age. Yet in our text, she laughed because it was really a laugh of unbelief. You've got to be kidding me. This is going to happen to me. Yet in our text, we find it says she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, there's something I believe today. I believe the Bible has no errors. Now, some would come to this and say, well, no, the Bible has some errors. See there, they believe one thing, and over here it was something different. But I don't believe it's an error at all, but a matter of timeliness that our I believe helps us to open our understanding of the development of faith. You realize this morning, faith is something that develops over a period of time. You get married, you trust each other, but the more you're together and the more you learn about each other, the more you trust each other. At least that's the way it's supposed to work. And so we find that there's a development that takes place. I believe Genesis chapter 18, verse 15 holds a tremendous key to this. It says, then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. She knew that he was an angel of God when he could know what happened in her heart. Where was she in the tent? He was out speaking to Abraham, and yet he knew that she laughed. In fact, the Bible says she laughed in her heart. The angel understood that. Why? Because he is of God. It's kind of like Nathanael. In John chapter 1, it says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said to him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. What had taken place? Daniel had doubted him, and Jesus confronted that doubt and said, listen, I saw you there under the fig tree. And what takes place? A real change in his life. I believe a very simple exclamation can be made of all this. When she was confronted with her unbelief, it brought her to a place of belief. Seriously, when you got saved, you were confronted, were you not? You were confronted with who you are. You were confronted with the fact that if you do not have faith, that you're going to die and go to hell. And she was made to realize that life could come from death. And she, we find, made a judgment about God's faithfulness to his promises and counted him faithful who had promised. I was thinking about this. Aren't you glad that though we be unfaithful, God is still faithful? Aren't you glad that though we're unloving, God still loves us? Praise God for that. Now, there's some marvelous facts about Sarah. Consider this morning, first of all, they had been married somewhere over 50 years. My wife and I celebrated 52 years last July 14th. After this many years, you better get that right or you're going to be in real trouble. If you want to know what year that was, take 2019, take away 52, and you can figure it out, and you'll have that before I do. Abraham, however, when they left to go to the promised land, was around 75 years of age. We know from Scripture that Sarah was about 65. When they left Haran, here's a man 75 years old, his wife 10 years younger at 65. After a famine came to the land, we find they go down to the land of Egypt. Let me read something that it says about that situation. Genesis chapter 12, it says, and it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt that he said to Saul his wife, behold now, I know thou art a fair woman to look upon. She's at least 65 years old. Can you still be beautiful at 65? Most definitely. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, this is his wife. They shall kill me, but they shall save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. I'll guarantee you, if I'd have done that to my wife, I don't know if I would have had the chance to let them kill me. He said, it might be well with me for my sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Well, we find she was a beautiful woman, even at this age. And at this age, she did something that I don't believe too many women would do. She left her homeland to follow her husband to a place they didn't know where it was. They didn't have maps. They didn't have GPS. They had God saying, go here and go there. And they end up in this place that we now call Israel. but she followed after him. How many of you ladies been married 52 years and up and leave everything you have and take off somewhere else? That's a pretty big deal, amen. That's a big deal. I'll tell you what, it's hard to even move things in the cabinet. My kids came over and rearranged some things, and my wife looks at that, and she's very happy for what they tried to do, but she says, I don't know where anything's at. But she left her homeland to follow her husband. The Bible says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid of any amazement. But I believe the greatest compliment that God can give a person, not was she only beautiful, not was she just was one who was willing to live up all, to move and to follow her husband, but we find that he commends her for her faith. She's in the hall of faith, one of two women who are there. When we read the book of Matthew chapter 8, we read something marvelous about the centurion. It says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He had a servant that was sick. He wanted him healed and asked Jesus to do so. But then he says, hey, listen, you don't have to come to my house. You need to come under my roof. I know that if you just say the word, it's going to take place. And he says this about, he says, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth; to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Here's a military man. He understood what orders were. He understood what it meant for things to take place because somebody said so. And the Bible says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. He complimented his faith. Sarah had faith. We read about Abel. We read about Enoch. We read about Noah. We read about Abraham. And now we see this woman where the Bible says, by faith, Sarah receives strength, conceives seed. I believe there's some things that we can learn about this particular episode that I hope would be helpful in your life and in mine. Number one, God will confront our doubts with truth. You ever had doubts about things? God will confront that. How does God do it? With truth. Very simple. The Bible says when Peter doubted that Jesus showed him the truth of his power. In Matthew 14, we read the story of Peter as he's walking on the water. And it says, when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go see Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now we look at that and we say, my goodness, Peter, what a failure you are, you sunk. How many of you walked on the water yet? But he finds himself in a position of not having faith. And he reaches out to Christ and says, save me. And what does the Lord do? He shows him immediately with a stretched forth hand. He caught him and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? He is chiding his lack of faith, and he's confronting him with him, at the same time showing him the truth of his power as he grabs him by the hand, raises him up, and what do? They walk back to the boat together. How'd you like been that guy? All the way through life, we deal with doubts. Matter of fact, we even come to church and sometimes the greatest sin we have is we doubt that what's being said is really that true for us. Sometimes we think, well, that'd be true for somebody else, that'd be true for this one, and this would happen to them, but not with me. They might have miracles and they might have marvelous things take place, but I don't think that can happen to me. And then God somehow confronts us with the truth of his power and helps us understand, hey, he can do what he says he can do. And when she was confronted, we then find out that it was her faith that caused her to receive strength the conceived seed. Number one, God will confront our doubts with truth. Number two, God takes us to the realm of impossible to show His power to make it possible. Did you hear that? God will take us to the realm of impossible. God will allow us to get in a position we cannot get ourselves out of. He will take us into that dark place where we see no light. Why? So He can shine His light upon us. I think about the fellow as they were going to build a dormitory for the prophets, and he had borrowed an axe, and as he's swinging the axe, the head comes off and lands in the creek that's right there. Excuse me. And he can't find it. And Elijah says, "Hey, cut a stick and go throw it in the water. And when that thing starts floating, that axe head's going to come up and attach itself." Whoa. And the Bible tells us that that axe head swam, which had first drowned. If we're going to see the miracle of the floating axe head, we have to understand, first of all, it is in a position of drowning. The leper would never see the hand of healing without having the disease. If you want miracles, if you want things to happen in your life, you need to understand you've got to have those things in your life that you cannot get through with your own imagination, with your own skill, and with your own know-how. And the only way it's going to happen is for God to do it. And thank God, when God takes us into that realm of impossibility, that He might show Himself real and make it possible. I think of Lazarus. He'd never risen from the dead. He had not died. They hadn't put Him in that tomb and rolled a stone in front of it. He'd have never known resurrection as He knew it. Do you understand today? It's our impotency that we find His strength. The Apostle Paul, I believe, summed up very well in 2 Corinthians. And it says, "He said unto me," he had besought the Lord three times for a problem he had. Now, we do not know what it is. Some believe it was his eyesight. We don't know what it was. But he had a thorn in the flesh. If he was a pastor, I would have known what it was, but he wasn't a pastor. You'll figure that out someday. I'm just kidding. But he'd prayed, and you know what the Bible tells us? "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee." There's a colon that follows that. Punctuation is very important in the Word of God. And that colon means there's an explanation coming. And he says, "He said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, colon, explanation. For my strength," talking about God's, "is made perfect in weakness." That was Paul's. "My strength is made perfect in weakness." And then Paul exclaims this, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And then he says something that I just find, can we say unusual? He says, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong." I take pleasure in infirmities. Whoa. I take pleasure in the fact that I have things I cannot accomplish on my own. I take pleasure in the fact that there are those who are against me. I take pleasure in the fact that there's some things I need that I can't get a hold of. I'm thankful for those things that cause persecution to come in my life. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. God takes us to the realm of the impossible to show us the power to make it possible. Thank God for that. And lastly, that's what every Christian that goes to church wants to hear. But remember something, when the preacher says that, the Apostle Paul in one of his books. It was four chapters long. And the third chapter, halfway through, he says, finally. That means, Lisa, we might not be as close as you think, but we probably are. God uses her as an example and warning. A verse that I read a while ago says in 1 Peter 3, verse 6, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Boy, I'm sure that's going to happen to a whole lot of families when you get home today. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well. What's happening there? It's not a fact that she's calling him Lord. It's the fact that she understands his place and responsibility in the family. And it says, not afraid with any amazement. She's trying, or really God's trying to help us understand something. Not only is she an example of faith, but she's a warning against those who do not operate that way. If you would go with me, please, to verse number 13. After saying, therefore sprang there even of one him as good as dead, referring to their bodies as not having the ability, and yet had multiplied tremendously. Verse 13 says, these all died where? In faith. Notice the next few words, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. These people, in direct reference to Abel, in direct reference to Noah, to Abraham, to Sarah, all went to the grave believing the ability of God. Yet they never saw what they believed. That's faith. But once they experienced God in their life, they never digressed. Once a person puts their faith and trust in Christ and sees his faithfulness, it can take them all the way through. I have a spiritual birthday coming up in February. For the life of me, I can't remember how many years it's been. 53 years, Gary. Are you 53 yet, Gary? Greg is too. Not much. First time I saw Greg, he was about that size. Things happen. A lot of sandwiches later. But 53 years ago in February, I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the longer I have believed, the more assured in my heart of what is yet to transpire. There will be things that I will never see that will take place. I should say things I can't see now, but they will take place. Listen, God wants to give us faith in him. And we need to believe him. For by grace are you saved, what? And who's that of? Not of ourselves, but what? The gift of God. Shelly's holding her arm. She's going back and forth. She's got a little niece or nephew. I get mixed up.
Nephew.
She's up here paddling him already. He needs paddled already. I remember a number of years ago when Shelly got saved. Changed her life. Amen. Faith and trust does things. Does marvelous things. I wasn't there when this guy got saved. But I've seen the results of it. Yeah. And I'm thankful for folks like that that I can call friends. Folks like you that I can call upon because you believe the same thing that I do about God. And we have the wonderful privilege to keep on believing it. These died in faith. They died in faith. If you walk across after church, walk in the double doors in the fellowship hall. Most of you have seen it. You walk in there and there's a lobby there. And right against the wall, as you walk in, we've labeled it Hall of Faith. We don't have hall. We don't even have most, but we have some of pictures of those who were one time right here. They died in faith. And guess what? We got their picture, but God has their soul. We put their body in the grave, but God says it's not staying there. At Easter, we sing that song, one of my favorite of all times, Up from the Grave He Arose. The mighty triumph. She was what? Faithful to death. That's all God wants us to be. Will God be faithful to us till death? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He wants us that way. If you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, just a few moments, we're going to do something. The pianist will come, she'll play, and before she does that, I'm going to pray. And after I pray and she begins to play, if you're not sure of where you go when you died, do you know you can be? Do you know that? John 3:16, many of you can say that by heart. For God so loved the world, what? He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever, what? What's the next few words? Shall not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Is that a hope so verse? No. The one that cinched it for me was Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wow. God's good. If you don't know that, would you come stand right here in front of me and I'll get somebody to help you, probably go in one of these rooms and just privately deal with you. So I'll be embarrassed. Can I say this? I'd rather be embarrassed for 10 seconds to go to hell for eternity. Amen. And we'd like to help you in that way. If God has spoken to you in any other way, we sometimes call this an altar. You know why we call it an altar? I know they're just steps, they got carpet on them. It's not like the altar in the Old Testament where they'd take a lamb and they'd slay it and the blood would be all about it. But it is a place to die to self. It is a place where you can come and somewhat publicly say, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am." Sometimes a place we come and say, "Lord, forgive me." So I could do that in my seat. Sure. And I hope you do it in one place or the other, that we might walk out of here being completely right with God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for each one here. Lord, I pray that you might work in hearts. Lord, I pray for your people, those who have put their trust in you, that there be something in their life that is really separating them from your goodness, though you are always good. They're not listening to you. They're not following after, whatever it might be. Lord, I pray that they would make that right. Father, I pray for those here who maybe don't know you as Savior. They don't know. If they died right now, they'd go to heaven. I pray you'd work in their heart. Help them to have the courage to step out and allow us to help them. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going